Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. And three times a month, we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your book to the next level. Today is a special show where we have mother-daughter literary duos, Barbara Jo and Amani Naija Williams, and Lashira and Jackie Lee discussing their work in the literary arena. And we will go ahead and bring Barbara Jo and Amani Naija onto the line. Barbara, Amani, are you there?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so we'll go ahead and jump right on in. Barbara, let's start with you. So you are quite the seasoned author. Why don't you tell us how many books have you written?
Well, I have 22 published. I've written more that have not been published yet. I'm still debating, but I have 22 books that are published and active right now on Amazon.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about your newest release?
Okay, my newest release was July of 2015, and it was Holiday Hotel 3. So it's a three-part series. It's they're all short stories, and they each center around a married couple at a hotel during a holiday.
Okay.
So.
All right. Now, are most of your books short stories, or are they usually your full-length novels, or what?
I do have full-length novels. I just started this short story thing about a couple of years ago, but prior to that, all my books are full-length novels, and I have a few nonfiction books about publishing and marketing and writing, that type of thing.
Oh, awesome. Now, what made you decide to do the shift from full-length fiction to short fiction?
Time constraints, really. I just had a lot of things going on. I had some ideas, and I just turned them into short stories. I said, hey, let me just go ahead and get it out there, you know, do some short stories instead of just taking months to do, a full-length novel. I had some ideas I thought would work well for short stories. And I saw a trend that people were shifting kind of to short stories, and they were doing well. So that was one of the things I wanted to give it a try.
Okay. So what genres do you write?
I write romance.
Okay.
Contemporary romance, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And like I said, I do have some nonfiction books on, you know, the publishing industry.
Okay. Sounds good. So when a reader picks up a Barbara Jo Williams book, what can they expect?
Well, if it's a romance, they should expect something hot and something... Mm-hmm. You know, something contemporary.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Now, did you start writing in your youth, or, you know, tell us about your literary journey?
My literary journey started about 11 years ago. Just something I had always wanted to do. I've always been an avid reader, you know, just somebody who loves to read. And I've been reading romance novels all my life.
Okay.
So, you know, I was at a point where I had always wanted to try writing, and I was just at the point where, you know, you get to that point, you say, well, it's now or never. So I had this idea for a story that had just been, you know, in my head, and I prayed one night, and I woke up the next morning, and I started writing, you know, the outline for this story that became my first novel, Forgive Us This Day. And like I said, that was in 2004. Actually, that was in 2003 when I started writing it, and it was published in 2004.
Okay. Now, when it came out, did you publish it, or did you go through someone else?
I published. I tried the traditional route at first, where I mailed it out to about 30 different agents or what have you, and, of course, it was rejected. But the good thing is that they all gave me some positive feedback. You know, do this and change that and send it back to us. And you know, so I took all their suggestions and did what they said do, but then I decided to just publish it myself because I didn't want to go through that again.
I hear you.
And a friend of mine suggested, she said, well, why don't you just self-publish? You know, just go ahead and self-publish. And at that time, I really had never heard of self-publishing, didn't even know what it was. So I just did my research, and next thing you know, I was in business.
Okay. So that takes us right to our next point. So you are the CEO of Imani Publishing. Why don't you tell us about your publishing company?
Well, like I said, I started in 2004 as a way to publish my first novel. And since that time, I've published 22 for myself. And I've published at least 25 or 30 other aspiring authors in different genres, just like, you know, romance, poetry, Christian fiction, nonfiction, what have you. So I've been kind of busy. It's been a full-time thing for me, and I've been quite busy.
Okay. So who is your ideal client?
My ideal client is someone who has a knowledge of the publishing industry already and excellent writing skills.
So we will talk a little bit more about Imani Publishing towards the end of our interview. But let's touch base on this here. So did you publish your daughter's book for your imprint?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I figured you probably did. So let's introduce her. So I'd like to introduce teen author Imani Nigeia Williams to the show. Imani, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, darling. So you have accomplished in your teens something that it takes others a lifetime to do. Why don't you tell our listeners how old you are? Let's start there.
15.
Wow. How long have you been writing?
A year.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. So when did you know that you wanted to be an author? You know, because, of course, you know, writing is one thing, but, you know, but publishing and putting the works out there, that's a completely different horse, you know. So when did you know that you wanted to be an author?
Well, I wanted to make money.
Okay.
So, and then I wrote all these poems, and I just wanted to share it with everybody else.
Okay. So you started writing the poetry just about a year ago? Or have you been writing longer than that and just decided to compile it about a year ago?
Just a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So why don't you tell us about your new release and what the inspiration was for writing it, other than the money.
Okay. The title of it is Peace Poems Created to Promote Peace.
Okay.
And I was inspired to write it because I really enjoy writing poetry. And I like Langston Hughes and Nikki Giovanni.
Okay. All right. So that's quite interesting that you just decided one day to just pick up a poem and or pick up a pen and just start writing. So what was the inspiration for the first poem that you wrote? Do you remember?
It was just to stop violence and, you know, talk about peace.
Okay. So when you sit down to write, is there something specific that you want to accomplish through the finished product?
No, I just write for, then express myself.
So where does your inspiration come from? You know, I mean, is it something you see on TV, or is it something you experience in school? You know, is it you know, trending topics in the media? You know, where do you get your inspiration?
Some topics from the media, television, just stuff I see.
What about music? Because I think
music.
Some of the poems have music music titles.
I didn't
know that until the book was published, and she said, "Mom, some of the songs were inspired from the music I hear," and I didn't even know that they were songs. I listened to the title, I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know that was a song."
So based on the feedback that you're getting from Peace Poems, would you say that you accomplished your goal?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, listen, let me, if you have a minute, let me give you a little, tell you about how this all started.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Yeah, actually, you know, April is National Poetry Month, and the library had asked me to be a judge for the Teen Poetry Slam, Jam, or whatever you want to call it. And I was telling Imani about it, and she said, "Well, Mommy, I want to participate in the poetry jam." And I'm like, "Well, you know you have to have poems to participate in the poetry jam." And I didn't know she was writing poems. And she was like, "Well, I didn't know she had been writing poetry." And then she said, "Well, I have poems." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, you want to hear some of them?" So she goes to a room, and she comes back with this journal and reads me a couple of poems, and I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." And so, of course, I had to call the library and tell them that I couldn't be a judge because my daughter wanted to be a participant.
Oh, yes.
And so
yes.
we went to the poetry jam. She read 2-3 poems and got a lot of positive feedback. And I think really encouraged her. I think that encouraged her to keep writing. And a couple of months later, she came to me and asked me if she had enough poems for a book. And I said, no, you don't have enough for a book yet. But if you keep writing until the end of the year, you may have enough for a book. And if you do, I'll publish your book in January.
So,
to make a long story short, that's what happened.
Awesome.
Yeah, so the release date was just February 5th. Yeah, I sent it to the printer in January because her deadline was December the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings me all these poems at the end of the year. Took me, you know, January, I was compiling everything, putting it together in the book, and the book was released February 5th.
Okay, that's awesome. So you're currently writing poetry, Imani. Are there any other genres you'd like to try?
Not right now.
No? Okay. Do you get ideas for, you know, for stories or things like that, or no?
Not really.
No? Okay. Now, Barbara, let's go back to you for just a minute. So you said that you actually began writing about 2003. You know, but were you, did you write in your youth? You know, or did you just, you know, it was just an idea that came and you just started writing, you know, much later?
I hadn't done a lot of writing. You know, I've always been a good writer, and I've been in positions where I had to write articles and write reports and stuff like that. But it never, you know, I never tried to write a short story or a novel or anything like that. It was just basically that time in 2003 that I had this bright idea that maybe I could, you know, write a book because it was something that I had always wanted to do. And
So you do some nonfiction stuff and you do romance. Are there any other genres that you'd like to try?
Well, I've been working on a YA series for years, and it's I've got the rough draft done. It's a 4-part series, and I pretty much have the rough draft done, but I just haven't had the time to go back and finalize it. But yeah, that's one area, young adult. But that's about it, young adult and romance.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, so Imani, are you prepared to read a poem from your collection for us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go right ahead. You have the floor.
Which one are you going to read?
Page one.
Okay. Hold on. Here we go.
The title is Peace. A peaceful world. That's all I want. That's all I see. No more killing. No more fights. Enough is enough. We need to try to do better, to be better, and to love one another. World peace is all I want.
Beautiful.
That's the shortest one, I think.
That's all right. That's beautiful and such powerful words. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to In the Spotlight, and this is a special show that we're doing with mother-daughter literary duos, and we are speaking with Barbara Jo Williams and her daughter, Imani Nigea Williams, and she just finished reading a poem from her debut book called Peace Poems, and I would like to say that she's 15 years old, and I love to see the youth just, you know, just taking the world by storm and using their gifts to make a positive change. And so you are just tuning in to that. So ladies, let's keep on talking. So why don't you tell us, tell our listeners what you do when you're not writing? What are some of your other interests and pastimes?
Are you talking to me? Or are you talking to Imani?
Both of you. Whoever wants to jump in can. That's fine.
Well, I like shopping and going to school. That's about
it. Okay.
Reading.
Yeah.
Watching movies and reading.
Mm-hmm.
She's
what kind of books
on
do you like to read?
There you go. Tell me what kind of books you like to read.
Horror and fantasy.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Now,
that's
Barbara. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. So what about you? What are some of your pastimes, Barbara?
Well, of course, I do a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do publishing. I do a lot of publishing, and I love being on social media, promoting authors and promoting different writers. And part of my business is proofreading, so I enjoy proofreading, and I enjoy being a beta reader for other authors, too.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Okay, that's awesome. So, Imani, do you intend to pursue a future in writing? And if so, have you decided what areas you want to focus on?
Yes. I'm going to do a second book in poetry.
Okay. All right. So you're what? You're in what? You're a sophomore? Is that right? Freshman? Sophomore? Where are you?
Sophomore.
Okay. So you've got a couple more years left to high school. Are you thinking of going to school, you know, for college in something to do with literary arts?
No.
Or have you not thought that far ahead?
What do you want to do?
Oh, I want to be a veterinarian.
Oh, really? Oh, awesome. Okay. So you have a love for animals. Okay, are you doing anything, you know, currently with that? And as a side note, you know, do you think that you'll end up doing some writing for animals? I know sometimes people who have a great love for animals will, you know, do poetry and books and stuff like that, you know, centered around animals. So, you know, what's your thought on that?
Well, I have one poem in this book. It's an elegy to my hamster Sunny when I had her when I was little.
Okay.
Oh, and I have a poem about my dog, Callie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I incorporated...
Do you
want to
read either of them?
What?
I incorporated my fish jelly in one of my poems, too.
Okay. All right. Do you want to read another poem from your book?
Yes.
Go right ahead, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Okay. I will be doing I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Okay.
I'm Black and I'm Proud. People try to bring me down because of my skin color, but my skin color does define who I am. I am proud that I am a young Black woman, because if I weren't, I wouldn't understand the suffering of my ancestors and what they had to do to survive. I'm Black and I'm proud of my long Black dreadlocks. My hair makes me who I am. It makes me different, a good different. I'm Black and I'm proud that my parents taught me everything I need to know, so I won't go into this world expecting life to be easy for me. I'm Black and I'm proud that we are making a difference in this world, to the first Black doctor, to the first Black president. I'm Black and I'm proud to say that I will not judge you for your skin color, religion, background, or sexuality. All I ask for is respect, like I have for you, because I'm Black and I'm proud.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. So what was your inspiration for that poem?
James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Okay. Was your inspiration the song?
Well, I used to play that song all the time. And, I used to play it whenever it came on the radio. And, you know, I would say, she was a little thing, and I would say it loud, and she would jump up and shout, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Okay.
So that was kind of our thing. That was always our little inside thing. You know, whenever that song came on, we would jump up and dance. And I would...
Okay, that's awesome. And it's beautiful. I love the words and the passion behind it. I could really just feel that, you know. And
yeah, you can
we
hear
live
it.
In such a time when we get so many images and so many messages telling us that, you know, who we are is not enough, or that we need to change who we are, or, you know, transform ourselves into something else. And, you know, but I think
exactly. So
as young as you are to have embraced that, like, you know, who I am, just as I am, is more than enough. So I think that is just so awesome. And I know that there are so many messages and so many, you know, lessons and, you know, and just pieces of wisdom that you can impart even to people your own age. I love it when the young folks are, you know, when they have a sense of who they are, you know, and that
exactly.
They know that it's okay to be, to step outside of the norm that says mediocrity is okay, you know. So you keep
exactly.
on doing what you're doing, Imani. That's wonderful. And your poetry is very powerful. Barbara, what can we expect from you next?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm kind of on hiatus right now. Like I said, I do have this four-part YA series completed. I have several other romance novels that are in the works, you know, that I've been working on. But right now I don't have anything complete, so I can't give out any possible release dates or anything like that. But I may have something coming out later on this year. But right now,
okay.
The next 2 or 3 months, I'm just trying to keep up with Imani, because her ship has just taken off, and Mommy is just trying to keep up and get her wherever she needs to be right now and, you know, get her book promoted, because this has opened up so many opportunities to her that
mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that she gets a chance to take advantage of every opportunity that she's been given right now.
Okay, yes, that brings up a really great point. Imani, why don't you tell us, how has your life changed since becoming a published author?
Well, I get to go more places, and
mm-hmm.
I get interviewed.
Oh, okay.
I get to meet a lot of different people.
Okay. Now, are you doing the open mic circuit yet? Are you doing the open mic circuit where you get up there and you know, recite your poems in front of, you know, audiences and stuff like that? Or have you branched into that yet?
Well, she's had a couple of readings at the local library, and
awesome.
Tuesday night she's going to be at Barnes and Nobles with the Big Ben Poets.
Very good.
So she'll be doing an open mic with him on Tuesday night. She's done several things at the library.
Sounds awesome. So, Imani, do you have any parting words or words of advice to share with our listening audience?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to say, keep spreading peace, and I hope you get inspired to write, too. Peace, hope, and happiness.
Okay. All right, and there you have it. Those were my parting words. That's awesome. Barbara Jo, what advice would you give to an aspiring author?
My advice would just to stay encouraged and keep writing. Like I told a young lady yesterday, don't worry about getting published. You know, don't jump ahead of the game. Just write. You know, if you're interested in writing,
mm-hmm.
then focus on writing and completing your project.
Okay.
And then
you'll
have time to worry about how or even if you should publish. You'll know by the time you finish your project. You'll know whether or not you really want to publish.
That's great advice. Now, let me remind you guys that that Barbara has been in the industry since 2004 and has 22 published books. So, you know, she is certainly a wealth of information to draw from, you know. Okay, so I have two questions for you. One, Barbara, is, you know, if someone
mm-hmm.
wants to reach out and, you know, and utilize Imani Publishing, you know, to get their next project or to, you know, to tap into you for some advice and stuff like that, how can they reach you for your publishing?
Well, my email is probably the best way, imanipublishing@aol.com. That's Amani Publishing at AOL.com.
Okay. All right. And so now this question is for both of you, and we'll do Imani first. Why don't you tell our listeners where your works can be found and how they may follow you on social media?
Well, my work can be found
at Amazon.
And Barnes and Noble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I have e-books and paperbacks.
All right. Why don't you tell us the name of your book once again, please?
Peace Poems, Created to Promote Peace.
Okay.
She doesn't have a Facebook page, but she does have, I mean, she doesn't have a Facebook fan page, but she has a Facebook Peace Poems page. It's a community page, Peace Poems, where people can post messages to her and post their poetry and all that kind of stuff on Facebook.
Oh, very good.
It's her book title, Peace Poems, Created to Promote Peace. So if you want to find her on Facebook, that's how you do it.
Awesome. And for Barbara, if we want to reach and tap into any of your 22 books, that number just astounds me. I love it. And she's got more in her, you guys. So you keep on writing, Barbara. But if people want to purchase your books, where can they do so? And where can they follow you on social media?
The same thing. All my books are on Amazon. All of them are on Barnes and Noble. Some of them are at Books a Million, and probably some other places that I don't know about. But
all right.
But I am on social media, just Barbara Jo, Joe, on Facebook, and @BarbaraJo22 on Twitter. Those are pretty much the only two social medias I do. I do have an Instagram account and what's the other thing, Pinterest and all of that, but my main two are Facebook and Twitter.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Snapchat. That's, and she's my only friend on Snapchat is my daughter.
Okay. Okay. Well, ladies, it has certainly been a pleasure speaking with you today. Barbara Jo, keep on putting out the quality fiction that you're known for. And Imani, I hope you keep putting pen to paper and expressing your truth. Words are absolutely powerful, and I'm so glad that you're choosing to use your words to make an impact on your generation and the world. Keep up
Thank
the rest
you.
Of your future works. Yes, my pleasure. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Okay, well, her goal is to have another book, when?
By the next year.
Yeah. Okay, well, keep me posted. You know, Barbara, you know how to reach me, so you know, reach out when that book is coming out, and we'll have you back on. We'd love to have you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much for having us. We really enjoyed ourselves. Thank you.
My pleasure. Ladies, you have a fantastic day.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, honey.
All right. Bye-bye.
Before we bring on our next guest, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Scores of authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids' zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. We've just interviewed mother-daughter literary duos Barbara Jo and Imani Nigea Williams, and I'd like to bring on our next guest, book publicist LaShira Lee and her award-winning daughter, author Jackie Lee. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you. So, LaShira, let's start with you. Why don't you tell our listeners exactly what a book publicist does?
Well, that can be a loaded question.
Okay.
Time, I think the book publisher's duties have changed, you know, with the onset of social media and independent
mm-hmm.
publishing.
Okay.
So I think other than promoting books, you really need to be a strategist, so to speak, and every campaign is different for every author, and everybody needs are different. So you really have to know the person that you're dealing with. And sometimes you don't have a very large opportunity or amount of time, rather, to get to know that person. So you have to do a lot of studying, a lot of research about what is best fit for that author. And even for that particular book, there could be some books that may speak to one group more so than another group. Of course, the promoting on social media and also connecting authors with different events and libraries and other groups. And sometimes, you know, a lot of readers I found are not in book clubs or, you know, sometimes I'm in Walmart or Kmart and someone's browsing the book collection. And I'm like, girl, you're a reader? And I say, yeah. And I said, well, let me tell you about these different books. So any opportunity that you have to tell people about different books and readers and groups, it's awesome because you never know what that'll lead to.
That's true. Okay. So why don't you tell us, how did you end up in this line of work?
Wow. Let's see. I have been an avid reader all my life.
Okay.
I remember growing up being the odd girl out because I constantly was in the library, our public library, lived in a very small town. And I remember people laughing at me. It would be not like they laughed at me, but jokingly, as we got to be adults, girl, I remember you walking back and forth to the library reading a book. And I think when I was really introduced to African-American literature at a young age through Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry, which is one of my all-time favorite books. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, there are black people in books. And then I had a librarian who's funny now because she gets to substitute at my school a lot. And she went in her program and bought books I had no business reading. Barbara Cotton, you know, I had a ferocious appetite. And so I always was an avid reader. And then 6 years ago, or 5 years ago, I formed a book club. And we invited different authors to come to our book club meeting. Then from there, I had different events. I've hosted anyone from Zane, Rashawn Tate Billingsley, Omar Tyree, Victoria Christian Murray, Iris Bolin, Beverly Jenkins. I mean, I've been blessed, Sharif Hodges, Zilda Perkins. I've been blessed to host a lot of different people. And I'll always talk about books and promoting books, and people, you know, approach me to do different things. And so that's how this passion of mine came to be a career for me.
Okay. So in case you don't know, Shirley is the she's the owner of Read You Later. Okay, so why don't you tell our listeners what kind of services you offer through your company?
Well, some people, I actually work some author pages. I do a lot of strategy, how to get you to the next level, how to connect people. I do a lot of promoting, but also comes with the marketing piece. And the marketing piece is sometimes that's the background piece that sometimes people don't see. Is making the connections and dotting all of the I's and crossing all the T's to help small businesses, publishing companies, or authors to connect with other people. And sometimes it's those connections that you make that are so valuable, those relationships, because you can meet some fantastic people that can guide you along the way, that can help you get to another level. You know, you may meet a librarian and have a great conversation, then next thing you know, you're invited to a literary event. You may meet one book club member that goes back and tell the book club about your book, and you're invited to a book club event. And I think the one thing I can tell people is what my grandma always told me, don't get too big for your britches. Meaning, you know, some people take, that event's not big enough, or that group is not big enough. And you should never have that mentality, because you never know who is in that group that may turn into a fan or client that can help you, assist you later on in life. And I also provide, I call myself a common sense provider, because sometimes people, they may have ideas that are great but may not be timely. So you have to have great discussions about what is timely for you, what is cost-effective for you. And even attending certain events may not be cost-effective for certain people, and, you know, including myself, because you sometimes there are sacrifices you have to make and investments, but you don't want to put a noose around your neck at the same time.
Right. That's very, very good information there. Are you taking new clients at this time?
Yes, I am. I am taking new clients as of April the 1st. I'm starting to take in new clients. And that's for marketing, promotion, and also critiquing the book. And I think that's also very necessary. Some people call it beta readers, but I do a lot more than that. Investigate your plot. Does it make sense? If you're trying to reach a certain demographic, will this story draw that reader in? If you're trying to cross over to another demographic, how are you able to reach them? And a lot of times your story and your book cover is very important in how to reach people. So there are a lot of things that new authors and sometimes even experienced authors don't take in when they are trying to promote their book. And also some people just write the book and just expect for everybody just to fall in love. Without doing the research and without having those connections, I've read some awesome stories, and I have met some wonderful, wonderful people, and not just wonderful authors, but just people of great character. But their product is never sold because they just write the book and expect for it to sell itself. And you have to have those conversations with people.
That's right. So you are the president and founder of the Roundtable Readers Book Club.
Yes.
So why don't you tell the listeners about your club and also what types of books you guys like to read?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you, I'm blessed to I don't even call them book members. I call them my sisters. And a lot of these women I have known for, more years I probably won't recollect, honestly. But I've known them, and the Lord has blessed us to bring us back together. And it's such a great sisterhood. We're located in the big city of Danville, Virginia. But I'd say like this year, we've already hosted two different authors, and we're in line to host four more physically, two virtually. And Shamika, you're including that because my vice president fell in love with your book, and she said, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh.
Why, thank you.
And she wanted to host you and do all this other stuff. And so we do a lot of events. We do a lot of community events as well. Every year we galvanize, and we actually put on a physical event. This year will take place in Durham, North Carolina. We'll feature Michelle Simpson, Beverly Jenkins, Iris Bowen, Angie Daniels, Deborah Mello, Catherine Ash, Summer Concord, Rashawn Tate Billingsley, Cassandra Durham, and Lachelle Weaver. Yeah, there's a whole lot. And that will take place September the 17th and 18th. And I've already received some book club love from people who are flying in from Texas and New York and Chicago and Detroit who will be joining us.
Is that September or is that October?
That's September. September the 17th and September the 18th. We will also have two movie screens, one from Nakia Cherie, her short film, Hostel. And also we will be viewing one episode of Iris Bowen's television show. The Saturday event is free. The Saturday event is free. The Friday is going to be a nominal cost for the rubber paint and sip, and that's $45. But you also will get a screening, and we have a girls' night in. So that's we're very, very proud of that. And that's in conjunction with the Durham Public Library. Lucinda is one of the librarians who's really helping us, with allowing us to have the venues and things of that nature. So we're very pleased and blessed to have the association. And we also do community events. Every Christmas we don't broadcast or anything, but we help several families with Christmas gifts. And this year we also bought a family a dinner. And we also try to, because, girl, you got to give back. My grandma always said, you can't be blessed with both hands closed.
That's right.
And I really do believe that. I really believe that. So, and we also give away, at the beginning of our school year, we also donate school supplies to various families and individuals.
Oh, very nice. Okay, and you're doing all this through your book club?
Pardon?
You're doing all of this through your book club?
Yes, we do all the group. I have a phenomenal group of women that I said they're not book club members, but that we are sisters. And if you ever attend one of our book club members meeting, I will tell you, we carry on. We have a blast. I am just blessed to be around this a wonderful group of women. And I also give a shout out to my sister book club. This is the Urban Literature in Winston-Salem, the Ladies of Red Tent in High Point. And Victoria Lady Reading, President Michelle Chavis, President Lady Red Tick Cassandra Durham, and Karen Bowman from Winston-Salem. And we sometimes we do events together because, there's no us or them. We're all in this together. We love to promote and talk about books and promote sisterhood. Yes. So I want to give a shout out to those three book clubs who are in my close proximity. I know we have book club, I'm going to call it by name because I'll forget the name, but Kenya Irvin, the president in Chattanooga, just a lot of different book clubs that people don't know about who are always buying books and promoting authors. And I would tell anyone listening who's an aspiring author who is in the business, please get to know your book club. Antoinette Gates, Mississippi Magnolias, Angel Saunders from Florida, just wonderful women who love to talk about books and have fun and are good people of good character.
That's awesome. So you are just a wealth of information. I love talking with Lashira. Why don't you tell us, if someone was looking to start a book club, what advice would you give them?
First, I would say get a group of people who are interested in reading, because you will encounter get a group of people interested in reading who are passionate. But I must say, if someone doesn't share your passion, because I'm passionate about books, and I read on an average probably 30 books per month, I don't expect for anybody to even come near that. But also be organized. That's help. Have great communication. Let everyone know what's going on, and you may have to reiterate it a couple of times. And give people options. We are not, we are not a dictatorship. It's not my book club, but sure, I just decided, I'm like, uh-uh, girl, we all are in this together, so we're all going to make some decisions. Also, figure out what type of books you want to read. There are some people in book clubs, of course, we all have various genres that we like, but make a decision that even if you don't perhaps maybe agree with that book selection, you have to respect it. That's key. And also, like, you know, I'm telling you, if you join my book club, we roll. We host people. We host events. So you have to find a book club or create a book club that is willing to roll with you. If you're a book club that want to be a social club, that's fine. But if you're a book club, like if you laid back, you couldn't be a member of my book club because we roll. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people up front, girl, if you don't really want to have events, if you don't want to do things, if you're not civic minded, this is probably not the book club for you. No hard feelings, but, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, you all just do too much, and that's fine. But I would go up front, you know, we're a book club that rolls. I think it's also good to have some bylaws in place or have some rules in place. That way you won't hurt anybody's feelings up front. I mean, later down the line, but to have rules established. And over the years, it's okay to go in, vote, and change rules or even make exceptions because just like we change over time, groups change over time. Yeah. And don't despise small beginnings. If you only have 4 or 5 book club members, that's fine because you'd rather have a cohesive unit than have a large number of myths.
Yes, absolutely. So you are also an award-winning blogger. Let's talk about that. What kind of blogging do you do? And then tell us about the award that you won.
Well, I won Ella Curry, who I think is phenomenal. She has this survey that's done every year. So I won the Black Pearls Magazine Award. And this year, actually, I didn't know I won. So when two of my book club members inboxed me and tagged me, I didn't even know. I think I was working an event with a client of mine.
Okay.
That's what I was. And they was like, well, sure, you know, my phone had died, you know, because I was constantly taking pictures and doing videos and all that other stuff. And so when I got to my hotel room, I plugged up, and they were like, well, sure you won, sure you won. I was like, won what? So I really do count it as an honor because I have, I think, Orsea, LaShonda, King, Tiffany, Antoinette, and different book clubs that promote and say Cyrus Webb. So this is an award that I guess celebrates African American bloggers, reviewers, and book club enthusiasts who help promote and talk about other African American authors and so on. So I'm very humbled. I count it as an honor because I am in a fantastic company of people who I admire. I admire their work. I admire their integrity. So I count it all joy and I count it as a blessing and an honor to be included in that number.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So you, you've written something that was published in an anthology. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about
that. I've always wanted to do. It was different. Each one of us, we had a different point of view or take on the stories as the anthology evolved. I learned a lot from the front from the back, and it was a good experience. And I've learned a lot, and I probably do maybe some things different and some things the same. It was an avenue, and it was the experience that I was able to share with my family and friends and book club members. And I must say that my book club members really showed up and showed out in the book signing I had, and they were, I tell you, a wonderful group of sisters. And I had Deborah Mello and Suzetta Perkins drive to big old Danville, Virginia to come and support me, and I was just shocked. So
that's
just, you know, it was a blessing. Yeah. The whole experience was a blessing.
Okay. Now, do you have aspirations of writing, you know, fiction and publishing, you know, publishing books?
Oh,
where you're the author solely, or?
I have 5 stories. I thought it would be in an anthology, but I have 5 stories that I am currently working on. It will probably be a series the way it's shaped. At first, it was 5 different stories, but each of these characters intertwine and deposit something in each story, and then they move on. And so, my mind is constantly working on that. But I'm excited about it. I'm just really excited about it.
Okay, that sounds good. So speaking of authors, let's bring on your daughter, award-winning author Jackie Lee. Jackie, welcome.
Hey.
Hey there. So not only are you an author, but you are an award-winning author. Why don't you tell us, first of all, how old you are? Let's start there.
I am 12 years old.
12 years old. Wow. Okay. And tell us about your book.
Well, I have 2, The Perfect Present and Perfect Summer.
Okay.
And The Perfect Present is about a new girl come to town with her grandmother, and it was already a girl in town named Jasmine, one named Jayla, one named Jasmine. And Jayla is kind of heartbroken because her parents aren't in her life, and Jasmine's parents are. And so this is related in the story, and in the end, they become friends.
Okay. So what age range is your fiction for?
7 through 15.
Okay. All right. And why don't you tell us the award that you won and what it felt like to hear your name announced and have others acknowledge your gift as a writer in that way. Tell us about that.
I won the Children African American Literary Award. And what's your second question? I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
What was your second question?
Oh, just what it felt like, you know, when you were heard your name being called, that you had won this award, you know, what that feeling was like, you know, that experience for you.
At first, I was nervous.
Were you?
And my heart started beating fast when they called my name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was kind of scared, yeah. But I was excited, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long have you been writing?
For about 2 years.
Really? Okay. Now, and where did that start for you? Was it an assignment in school, or, you know, what was the inspiration for the first thing that you wrote? Do you remember?
One time I was in my mother's bed, and she had a laptop, so I just started writing about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That I really want for kids, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when did you know that you wanted to be an author? Because, of course, you know, writing is one thing, but you're taking it to the next level. That's something totally different. When did you know that you wanted to be an author?
My mama, she's always carried me to events, and she still do. And I love seeing, like, authors, they, like, explain the book to people and, like, how they set up and stuff. So I just, like, I wanted to be one, too.
Okay. All right. So you were assigned to Brown Girls Publishing, and that's a pretty exclusive publishing company. How did you land a contract with them? And congratulations, by the way. That's an awesome accomplishment.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And I met them at one of my mama's events, Ms. Rashonda and Ms. Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she was like, my daughter's writing a book, and we want you to be a part of it. And I said, yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, do your peers at school know that you are an author? And if so, are they receptive to your accomplishments?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How has your life changed since becoming an author?
I've got to do signings and blogs, like right now, and book in front of my class about the book.
Okay. Yeah.
And magazines like USA Today and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Have you started doing events? You know, book signings and things like that yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you have? Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. So in addition to writing, you also act. Do you see yourself combining the two loves for future projects?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, in what way? What are you thinking?
Like, I could write out a story and, like, just act it out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't hear about them so much anymore, but people at one time used to do kind of one-woman shows, you know, where they would, you know, write the script and then act it out and do that sort of thing. Do you have aspirations for that kind of platform, or are you looking at more at, like, maybe doing some playwriting or what?
Playwriting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you want to read a short excerpt from your book? And if not,
no,
that's
ma'am.
Okay, because we didn't talk about it beforehand. That's okay. That's all right. We'll catch you the next time on that one.
Okay,
and this question is for both of you. What would you say is the hardest part of navigating this literary field?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
What do you feel is the hardest part of navigating this literary field? You know, what's been the hardest part for you? You know, is it the writing part? Is it publishing? Is it getting out there and speaking in front of people? What's been the hardest part for you, you know,
speaking
in this
front
process?
Of people.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it is.
And what about you, LaShira?
Wow. Let's see. A lot of times it's, like, my schedule, like, for the next book, I've been gone for, like, three weekends in a row. And I'll be gone next week, and then the following week is our book club anniversary, so I'm hosting an author, and then I have a week off, and then I'll be gone for two additional weekends, and Jackie has an event in May, and then actually she has an event in April too. I forgot about the event. So a lot of times it's just the scheduling, because I have a full time job. I'm an educator. I have a husband. I have two children, a family, nieces, mom. So a lot of times, scheduling, just trying to make sure that I still leave family time. And for me, it's the downtime. I don't. My mind is constantly moving, constantly thinking about how I could do this different, how this may work for another person. So I find myself not giving myself a break. And last year, I learned that that wasn't great, because I have I had a health scare at work, and they had to call the rescue squad the last day of school.
Goodness!
So I learned at one point to take a break, and now I find that I'm not doing that, and so I have, like, cleared my calendar, so to will, for the summer. Have two some things I've booked for other people, and I may not attend, which is usually not me. But I know that I just can't do everything all the time, everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's learning to say no, because, girl, I am horrible at that.
Okay. I can so relate to that, too. Jackie, do you have any advice for someone wanting to publish a book?
Not be scared to speak out. Like, right now, I'm still scared to speak out. And to get your mind to it, like, it don't matter what anybody else says. Just do what you want to do.
Okay. All right. That sounds like good advice to me. And, LaShira, I'm sure working in this field as long as you have, you've seen many pitfalls that new authors fall into. Why don't you tell some of our new authors what types of situations to avoid?
I would say never, and I've never counted the people I've worked because I try to stay out of all this stuff, but I've seen and observed some Facebook or social media beef. I think that my grandma always had this phrase, and my best friend's mother too: don't put your mouth on anyone. Essentially, keep your mouth shut. A lot of times the things do not, and even if things come to you, everything that comes to you, you don't have to respond. So
that's true.
Learning to not make enemies or frenemies and build relationships not only with other book clubs or people who read, but also other authors is very beneficial. So I think that sometimes people are too quick to be judgmental. Also stepping out the block and stepping out that box. If you are, say, an African-American author, don't be frightened to go to perhaps a predominantly event that doesn't showcase a lot of predominantly African-American or Hispanic or Latino authors. Step out their block and their box. I think that that's very beneficial. And don't release a book and just expect for it to sell itself. You do have to do something beforehand and after the fact to make people notice you. Once again, as I stated earlier, you may have an awesome product and you may be a fantastic person, but there are a million other authors on this planet, so you have to do something to get people to recognize you.
Absolutely. And, LaShere, why don't you tell our listeners how they can reach out to you for your services and also connect with you on social media?
Oh, on social media, you can find me on Instagram, Read You Later, Twitter, Read You Later, Facebook, Read You Later, LaShere Lee, or just LaShere Me, LaShere Lee, on Blog Talk, blogtalk.com/Read You Later. I have a Reading You Later blog spot, and you can connect with me for services or anything. A lot of people inbox me on Facebook, actually, but my email is readingyoulater@gmail.com. readingyoulater@gmail.com. And I would like to thank you, Tamika, for the opportunity for my daughter and I to speak and talk about what's going on in the show. And Tamika has a lot of fantastic things coming down the pike, and you all need to stay tuned because this woman's about to blow up.
Oh, well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you on here. And thank you. Thank you for that plug, because I don't usually use the platform to do that. But for me, I probably should do that more, but I don't. So Jackie, why don't you tell our listeners where your books may be found and how they can connect with you on social media?
They can be found on Brown Girls Publishing, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo.
Okay. All right. Well, we've reached the end of our time here. LaShere, the work that you are doing through Read You Later brand is making such an impact for authors. So keep on doing what you're doing. It's so appreciated. And Jackie, the joy of a parent and symbol that we have done this thing, this parenting thing right, is the fruit of our children. I am so proud of your literary and creative endeavors. Keep on expressing yourself and using your gifts to empower others. What an inspiration you are. And be sure to keep us abreast of your future endeavors, so that we can continue to support you. Ladies, I'm so glad that you're able to come on the show today. I know that you have such a busy schedule, so thank you so much for fitting us in, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yes. Have a blessed Sunday.
And you as well. Again, listeners, we have had mother-daughter literary duos, Barbara Jo and Amani Nigea Williams, and LaShere and Jackie Lee with us today. I'm always excited about the opportunity to connect with readers. If you are in the Detroit metro area, I will be at the Motown Literary Women's Brunch on Saturday, March 19th, from 11 to 2 at the Skillman Detroit Library. The event is sponsored by the Essence of Motown Writers Alliance and also the Motown Writers Network. You can go to www.motownwriters.com for more information. And come out for the release and book signing of my newest novel, When a Man Loves a Woman, 2. A Love Divine, at the Dayton Book Expo on Saturday, April 30th at Sinclair Community College in Dayton, Ohio. The event is free and open to the public. Be sure to visit my website, www.TamikaPatrice, that's TamikaPatrice.com. And for more information on the event, you can visit www.DaytonBookExpo.com for more details. If you miss any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs. Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors and literary professionals who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word to others. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join me next week for In the Spotlight with special guest authors Keisha Green and Ravonda Brown at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose. And don't forget to read a good book. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.